All right, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are listening on the podcast feed, we are set to go live on YouTube. I'm just going ahead and getting the link together and sharing it over to Twix. And we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds News, brought to you by Suds in the Squared Circle. I am Vinny. And this is my special co-host for the night tonight, Angela. Welcome back to Suds of the Squirt, to the Suds News.
I always like spending Monday evenings with you.
Well, I am very happy to have you here, and it's fantastic to have you back. Christy is has some personal things going on, so she couldn't join us again tonight. But it's okay because Angela is able to get the hot tag and come in and. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to spice things up for tonight because General Hospital in general has been spicing things up over the past number of weeks.
I am blown away. I have not, I mean, and I've said this, I feel like a broken record because I keep saying it, but I have not been this excited to watch it on it feels like I'm back in high school, rushing home to watch that VHS recording.
Yeah, no, it has been fantastic recently. Ever since the new writing team took over and started with their stories and their beats and started to shake things up in using a Vince McMahon term, shake things up again. It's been absolutely fantastic.
So good.
Although I can't understand, and we were talking about this off before we started, I can't understand all the hate that it's getting on like Facebook. I belong to a couple of Facebook groups, and there are people who are saying, "Oh my God, what are they trying to do? Ruin the show and tank the show?" Like, no, they're saving the show.
Right. Well, it's the same thing on Twitter and parts of Instagram and Daytime Dish and the message boards. The people that have an issue with it, the majority of the people that have an issue with it, are shippers, people who watch for a certain cut pairing, or stans who only watch for their character. I mean, we all have our favorite pairings, we all have our favorite characters, but the key to a soap opera is to watch the show. One, no pairing is guaranteed, no character is guaranteed, no character is guaranteed to continue being the same actor. So I mean, this is the show. People need to remember this. I hear all the time, Carson will never be over. J. Sam will never be over. Like, guys, who was the most popular, arguably, super couple of all time for soap operas? Luke and Laura.
And
And what show was it that blew them to smithereens and danced on their remains? General Hospital. And it was their ship. Super couples very rarely end game, especially on GH. You think about the super couples from the 80s. Luke and Laura, Frisco and Felicia, Robert and Anna. None of these people are ending up together. It's not happening. And on a lot of soaps, they don't end up together unless they die or they go off together and never come back. That's it. I just tell them, I mean, a couple can reach a certain age. Like, their Days of Our Lives is never going to break up John and Marlena or Patch and Kayla at this point. But a couple that's not together right now, no. There's just no.
Well,
And
rumors are that they're trying to make Finn and Liz the Audrey and Steve, going forward.
yeah, I had heard that too, but. Do you guys do spoilers on here?
You could go ahead and I don't mind spoilers so much.
Michael Easton's out. He's still filming. He's gone. They have told him that they're taking a contract out. I don't know when his last air date is. He was told when they came back from the last dark week. He's done.
I've been hearing rumors about that. Then I did talk to James Law Jr. about it, and he said, "Oh no, they have the they have you know they have plans of making them the next Steve and Audrey."
I would love if the information is untrue, but I heard it. Usually I won't, because right now, be very, very careful about any spoilers you hear, even from me, because they are trying to plug leaks. So they're putting out false information.
Oh, absolutely. I completely
but
agree.
I
Both
heard
of
this.
Do the same thing. So
I heard this from three sources.
Okay.
And it's funny because Roger Howarth always famously said that he was never going to go on social media, never get an Instagram, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
And he did. And everybody's like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, we found out he was fired.
Right.
He was out.
And same thing with
Michael
Mike Leeson.
Easton did
He
the
just started.
same exact thing. He literally started the Instagram the day I was told he was told his contract was not
That's
getting.
where the rumor started also. So it just,
Right.
wow, okay.
Right. So, I mean, it's possible that they don't.
Yep.
Because also, I don't know what else they're going to do with Liz.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
I mean, it's the possibility of Liz and Jason coming back together.
And here's why. And I don't just say that because I'm a Jason and Carly shipper.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rebecca Hurst has not had over 100 episodes
mm-hmm.
in like 4 years.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the minimum, the content. And, you know, like people complain a lot about the imbalance, but the thing is that there are contract minimums
Yeah.
that actors have.
Yeah.
Laura Wright, Maurice Bernard, Steve Burton
Yes.
have very big ones.
Yeah.
Others, not so much.
Right.
And that's just how it goes. And when, you know, back in the day when Kelly Monaco was paired
yeah.
with Steve Burton, hers were really huge too. She also has not in 4 years.
Yeah.
And those are two big signs that neither of those couples are going to reunite because they just.
I mean, I like where they're going with Sam and Dante.
I love Sam
I
and
love
Dante.
them together.
And I was never a huge Sam fan, although, I mean, I liked Sam and Jax a little bit. I liked Sam and Sunny. I thought they had a good dynamic because it was a real, you know, she was a mix between, you know, had the Brenda, but not just, she was more, you know, of a bad girl than Brenda. So there was, you know, and they were real pretty together.
Mm-hmm.
I like Sam and Dante a lot.
Yep.
And I think that they would have to do damage to her character
Yes.
to put her back with Jason.
Yeah, because
I know.
They're really making her a good mother at this point.
Right.
Ever since she became a mother and wanted to move away from the mob lifestyle, even going back to when Drew was Jason. Hey, Nathan, welcome
Yep.
to the chat. When everybody thought Drew was Jason and they started Aurora. And, you know,
Absolutely.
she moved away from that lifestyle. And Sonny respected it. So,
Right.
you know, Drew as Jason,
Mm-hmm.
you know, said, I want to, you know, leave. I want to go into corporate America. All well and good. Then Jason
Right.
comes back and Sam, you know, they teased Sam and Jason the last time Jason came back, you know, and
Mm-hmm.
they kind of put the kibosh on it quickly because it just wasn't where those
Well,
characters were going.
they put them back together, but then she dumped him because she had thought Danny had been in that bombing because of the
Right.
stuff with Jason. And the thing is that it makes sense. And I know that a lot of people are upset with her because they're like, oh, she wanted Jason's baby. But it's the theoretical is different than the reality.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It just is. And not only that, the danger stuff aside, right, wrong, whatever. I'm a Jason and Carly fan, so I don't care. But for the life of me, I have never understood why any fan of any other female character would want her with Jason, knowing that their girl is going to come in a distant ninth to Carly, Carly's kids, Sunny, the bowl of moss, Carly's lawn boy, her pedicurist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't understand. And Sam, it was one thing before she was with Patrick, before she was with Drew Jason,
yep.
before she was with Dante, somebody who puts her first, who
yes.
puts
yes.
their family first.
Yes.
You don't go back.
No, you don't.
You don't go back. And today, I know you haven't seen yet today, so I'm not going to spoil, but today felt like the new head writers were hammering some nails in some coffins of ships.
I know I saw the posts on Twix from, you know, from you and from other people with the actual proverbial nail in the coffin going through.
Yeah.
That makes sense. They had to put the end to it so that,
Right.
people will understand they're moving on from that.
Right. And the thing is that I know that there are a lot of things that are happening very whiplashy, but
Yes.
I think the new head writers are trying to reset the board
Yeah.
to where they want these characters to be.
Of course.
That's what's happening with Anna. That's what's happening with Laura. That's what's happening with Dex.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're resetting the board.
Yeah. Which you bring up a good point, bringing up Anna and Laura. Now, and here's the thing. You and I have talked about it, and you've been very vocal about Sonny the character. He's a bad guy. He's a mob boss. He's a heel, and there's so much animosity online for Laura and Anna actually taking a stand against Sonny, saying, oh, they wouldn't do that. That's not in their character. And I've kind of came back at them and I said, listen, you have one who's the mayor of the city and one who's the police chief, police commissioner. Yes, they are going to naturally be against a mob boss because of the, and knowing that he's all philanthropical and all that, that's to launder money.
Exactly. And that's the thing is that they had Jagger, everything Jagger said was true. Everything Jagger said. And he wasn't saying that Sonny didn't care about Stone,
Right.
but he was like, but you benefited. He
Yeah.
helped whitewash you. And it's true.
Yes.
And the thing is Laura has turned on Sonny before when Lucky died.
Yeah.
She turned on him, she turned on Luke.
Yep.
And these same people who are like, Laura would never turn on Sonny are complaining about Laura being nice to Esme. And
Right.
I'm like, seriously, pick a
Very
lane.
fickle. People
And I
are very
mean,
fickle.
Anna went back and forth. Anna, Duke was the love of Anna's life.
Yep.
She went back and forth
Sure.
about his stuff. And, so this is absolutely. And, she listened to the things Jagger said and heard, about the Karen stuff, which she didn't know about. And that's a big deal.
Right. Yes.
It is. And then she saw Dex.
Yep.
And Dex was that another vulnerable kid, young person who Sonny took, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we saw the scenes with Sonny and Dex when he was trying to talk Dex into killing Cyrus.
Yes.
It was disgusting emotional manipulation.
It
It
was.
really was. And the thing is that they can keep Sonny.
Yeah.
And I think the Sonny pairing with Ava is great for that.
I do too. I really
You know what
do.
I mean? Because they can, you can be a bad guy and stay on a soap.
Yes.
You can.
Well,
You know,
that's
as
the
long as
thing is
he's not
that.
plotting to blow up the world, as long as he's not Helena Cassadine,
Right.
he can be. But he, Patrick Mulcahy does not like mobsters being written, glorified, and as romantic heroes.
Yeah. And that
And
makes
that, I think, is a
sense.
reset they're doing.
And I think that they're kind of aligning it the correct way now because, I mean, theoretically speaking, you watch General Hospital, what's the first outside of Luke and Laura, the first name that comes to mind is Sonny Corinthos. And he's always been the face of the show. And you're right, they've been glorifying, they haven't been showing, I mean, they haven't been showing a lot of the mob situation, but when they do, you're like, oh, am I supposed to be cheering for this? Am I supposed to be, because they always do where Sonny has a rival mob boss, and that rival mob boss, for example, Cyrus Reno, comes in and he's trying to take over, and instead of rooting for the cops to take care of this gang leader, you're forced to choose one mob boss versus the other mob boss. Where's the baby face in it? They're trying to show Sonny as the baby face and all of his antics, whether it's to kill Cyrus or have Dex, kill Cyrus in the hospital or him going to beat up Cyrus at a church, you're supposed to root for that.
So I think that they can reset, and I think they are.
Yeah.
They're resetting him. They're gonna let, Mo wants Sonny to be a mobster. Great, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But you can be the mobster or you can be the hero. You're not gonna be both.
Right.
and they can reset him, and they can have, you know, his mob stuff be in the background and vague.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be the romantic hero. He could be paired with somebody like Ava, who is gray and whatever, just like he is. And they can have their little whatever. I don't think Jason will go back to the mob in any way.
Right.
I don't think he's going to become a cop, but I think they'll have him doing like some sort of WSB.
Yeah.
You know, covert, yada, yada, you know, stuff like that.
They have to
figure where he still gets to play with a gun and play hero,
yeah,
but he's not a bad guy and he can be.
Yeah, he'll be more like a military contractor, security.
Right. Robert, Mac. Yeah. Mac was a mercenary.
Yep.
You know, Robert was about, you know what I mean? And they, you know, so, and he's at that age where he can evolve into those things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that by November, the landscape looks very different.
Oh, yeah.
I've also heard there's a good chance they want to reset some things at the hospital.
Okay.
I've heard that they're going to bring in, and again, this is rumors that I've heard from a couple people, but I've heard that they're looking to bring in a doctor like Patrick was, only without having the designation of who they're going to settle him down with.
Okay.
You know, he's going to be like the 80s, Noah Drake and all of them who were the big playboys, have, you know, sexy young nurses and sexy female doctors and spice up the hospital set,
which
I also think is phenomenal on a show called General Hospital.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, I really wish that Jason Thompson would be able to come back as Patrick, but he seems to be enjoying his time on Young and the Restless as Billy.
Right.
So, I mean,
and Patrick and Robin are settled out in California,
right.
And Kimberly McCullough has no desire to come back. Although I think we could see their daughter come back.
Oh yeah.
And mix it up. Come live with grandma.
Yeah. And
mix it up.
She's been back and forth a few times.
Exactly.
You know, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, and it would be nice to see her come back to find out the news about Spencer being killed. You know, whether or not they're going to bring him back, recast him in the future, we don't know.
Yeah. They're not bringing him back right now.
Yeah.
They didn't find who they wanted or decided to change direction. But there is a new guy coming in in that age group at the wedding, who is a relative of Lois's.
Okay. All right.
He's coming to the wedding. He's like her nephew or something. His name's Gio.
Okay.
And he's actually, what's really funny is the actor is famous because he is a violinist, like an amazing, like prodigy.
Okay.
And he plays a lot of basketball halftime shows.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he's so good looking. So good looking. And I think he has a good chance of being Trina's new love interest.
All right. Well, all right. Well, that's good. Maybe that'll, I don't know if we'll necessarily quiet the Sabrina fans, but.
It won't. But nothing's going to quiet the Sabrina fans. But I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
That, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, James Law Jr. made a good analogy about Trina. The fact that she was never supposed to be a major player. She was only supposed to be the friend. She was only, you know, in the background. But the pairing, you know, when it was Sydney Michaela as Trina, she got popular because of the acting. So they felt when he had to go to, you know, made the choice to go to college, they had to recast and then put the Sabrina pairing together and all that. So, yeah, they do listen to the fans at times, but you also they're making a choice for the show. And if they don't see a long-term character, whether it's in Trina or anybody else, they're not going to write for them, regardless of what the fans say.
And I understand wanting your ship.
Yeah.
I've been rooting for 28 years as of May 6th of this year. Literally, 28 years. I understand. But I don't understand fans of this ship saying, well, why couldn't they have just sent them off together?
Yeah.
Why does she have to lose her job because he wanted to leave?
Exactly. Yeah. And
And
they're not going to
she's
keep her under
the
contract.
character who's like, or somebody was like, they couldn't have gotten them married or given them a baby. I'm like, she's in college. She's
Yeah. Do
no.
fans know too much now?
Yes.
Do you think that with the
Well, it's not that I don't know that they know too much. I think that,
they have too much access to behind the
yes,
scenes.
but I mean, the shippers have always been crazy. But the thing is now, there are, and not all shippers are like this, but there are certain segments of every fan base who feel that they are owed something from the show other than them just putting on the show.
Right.
You know, and like there's a there's a hashtag going around right now that the Sabrinas have started. Hashtag earn me GH. And they list what their demands are for GH to earn their viewership. And it's always, well, I want my couple and I want this and I want, and that's just, it's not how soaps work.
Right.
The thing is that this is not a Hallmark movie.
Right.
You want your couple together and happy? You'll see them once every couple weeks
Yep.
because that's not soaps. Period. End of story.
Exactly. All right. And for those of you who are watching and listening, go ahead and hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, get notified anytime we end up coming on or posting anything here on Suds in the Squared Circle. Also, quick note, as always, we are an official affiliate for WWE Shop, which is a Fanatics experience. Go over to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch and buy all your WWE fandom gear, like this awesome celebrating 40 years of Hulkamania Python Power shirt. It is up on their website, and we do earn a commission for that. So go over for that. Also, programming note, earlier today I was able to take part with the Take Two Radio crew, with Take Two Radio Soaps in Depth and or Soaps in Review, I should say. And I was able to have part or take part in the interview with Gregory J. Martin, who is the creator, writer, showrunner, producer, jack of all trades on The Bay. And I was able to talk to him briefly, thank him for his support of Dark Side of the Bay, which is on tomorrow night at 10 p.m. right here where you're watching it. And also, Dark Side at the Bay has its own podcast feed now. So go over and subscribe to that on Apple Podcasts and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. You can also go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/dockside-at-the-bay, and that will go ahead and bring you that feed as well. So things are going on. I am still working on Squared Circle News. Things are trying to find a permanent co-host. That's the biggest thing right now, or at least get rotation of co-hosts in that are able to do it. That's where we're going to be. That's what I'm going to be doing. I didn't want to put out a show where it was just me talking, because sometimes I know I tend to get monotone and put myself to sleep, so why would I put everybody else to sleep as well? So Squared Circle News is something that's in the pipeline, and I'm also going to be doing a couple of different interviews coming up. I've made contact with James Legend's friend Flobo, and he and I are going to be doing something in May. He's a big wrestling fan. He has his own podcast as well. So we're going to be taking care of that. And I'm also going to be working on some other interviews coming up as well. All right. So as we move on, I thought about the idea that fans have too much, and I think you hit the nail on the head where fans feel they're owed. Whether it's wrestling or Twitter, there's the dirt sheets, there's the people that come out of the woodwork to cover soaps, cover wrestling, cover the contracts, the ins, the outs, and everything. I just feel like it's almost too much backstage information. Instead of just watching the show, everybody wants to try to control the show or hijack the show.
Right.
Soaps and wrestling are different in the fact where wrestling is done in front of a live audience. Soaps is not. It's done on a studio and it's released at least 6 weeks later. So how do fans feel that they're going to hijack a show that's filmed 6 weeks in advance?
I don't know. It just, it makes me crazy because one of the things that the phrase that makes me the most nuts when I see it is somebody saying, why don't they listen to the fans? And I always say the same exact thing. Which ones should they listen to?
Right. Do you want, you know, if you listen to, yeah, one. Okay. Somebody loves Jason and Sam together. So they're going to, do they listen to that fandom, or do they listen to this fandom? Yeah, exactly. The fans are fickle.
Exactly. And they estimate, General Hospital estimates that, I don't know if we've talked about this before or not, but the online fandom,
yeah,
people that post about GH online, Instagram,
minority.
Twitter, Facebook, yeah, is about 10% of the entire viewing audience.
That makes sense.
And we don't even agree on everything.
Right. Exactly.
So, and the vast, vast, vast majority of General Hospital viewers,
yeah,
turn on the show, watch the show, go on with their lives.
Yes.
They don't watch for a certain couple. They don't watch for a certain pairing. They don't watch for a certain character. They don't watch for a certain storyline. They watch General Hospital.
Yes.
So the best, and you know, they shoot in advance and they write even further in advance.
Right.
So by the time it gets to air, they're months down the line usually.
Yeah, no, of course.
And it's hard for them to just pivot storylines.
Oh, very, yeah.
So the best thing for them to do is to lay out their story to themselves, plan it out, commit to it. And that's it. Because waffling back and forth, hedging their bets, that's bad soap.
Yeah.
You know, and are you going to make everybody happy? God, no.
Never.
They never were.
Yeah.
You know, they made the Luke and Scott, or the Laura and Scotty fans mad. When they,
right,
you know,
yeah,
it's, you know, there's always going to be a fan base that isn't happy. And everybody, it's, another thing I hate is the echo chambers.
Yes.
You know, and they're like, well, I hate it, so everybody hates it.
Right.
You know, it's my fan, my ship is the most popular because I see so many people that love them and hate the other ones.
Right.
Yeah, well, you are who you surround, you see who you surround yourself with.
Exactly.
Even on social media.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I actually did a thread on my Twitter the other day because I'm so sick of hearing that, you know, Jason and Carly are a flop.
Yeah.
And I took their metrics, the online metrics, which are BS, but you know,
yeah,
they talk about the ratings and they talk about trending on Twitter and they talk about the likes and the video views.
Yeah. Yep.
And in, on every metric, comparing this round of Jason and Carly, Jason and Liz, Jason and Sam, Jason and Carly did better. Their reunion day was the highest rated day of his return compared to the other two reunions.
Yep.
Their video got the most views on Facebook or on YouTube, the General Hospital YouTube channel. They have more likes than, you know, negatives on the comments, and they've trended almost every day. I'm like, guys, based on your own metrics, so
yeah,
knock it off.
Right.
You know, stop. Like what you like, but don't act like you speak for the entire fandom, because you don't. Speak
right
for yourself.
Yeah, and that's what it boils down to, is people speaking out of, you know, saying they represent the entire fandom, and it's not true. You're gonna have your favorites, you're gonna have your, anyways, we, you know, we've been at it for a half hour now. We've bitched and you know, booked the territory, so to speak, and just kind of went off on the fandom, because that's what it boils down to. You know, it's like, and I brought it up, somebody posted what does General Hospital need to do to improve, whether it's the writing or the acting, and I said it's the fans. I said,
yeah,
hospital is kicking on all cylinders right now. It's enjoyable to watch. It's, you know, it's can't miss TV, must see TV.
Yes.
And
I that the actors seem invigorated too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, Eden McCoy was on Bradford and Steve's podcast last week.
Yes, I have a listen.
And Steve was talking, he was like, you know, vets from the 90s, vets who have been on forever are talking about how they haven't been this excited to get their scripts since the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, I think the acting has kicked it up a notch because they're inspired.
Yeah.
The dialogue is so much better. The scene length is better. The pacing is better.
Yes.
And they're hitting the beats. We're seeing the relationship builds. We're seeing family. We're seeing friends. I mean, Cody and Tracy.
Yeah.
Who would thought it? They're great. They're
Yeah.
fabulous.
Yes.
And I mean, the other day, the scene with Maxie and Felicia in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it needed? Is it integral to the plot? No. But soaps have 5 days a week, an hour, you know, 5 hours a week to fill, 52 weeks a year. They can hit the beats. They can have, not every conversation has to be, you
Intense
know,
or
the most important, you know, the soaps are about relationships.
yep. All right, so
Love and the acting.
speaking of relationships, how are you feeling with Brick and Jordan?
I think that they're a placeholder. He's never going to be
He's not going to be
a
full.
regular on the show. And I think that they're doing this Nina and Drew thing to facilitate Nina and Willow's reconciliation.
Okay.
And you'll see some of that today.
All right.
But like Chris, Cameron Matheson, when he, you know, on his Instagram, he had posted the pictures of him and Nina with the, you know, they're having sex. And somebody was like, but what about Jordan? What about Jordan? He's like, don't worry. Can't, Drew and Jordan are still on the table. It's just, we're doing this first. So I think that Brick is just a placeholder, you know.
Yeah.
Stephen Smith is never going to be a regular
Oh.
on the show.
He makes too much
He
money
has a
on
full-time
ESPN.
job,
Yeah.
three full-time jobs.
Yeah.
He likes to pop in and out. It's
Yep.
something fun for them to do with Brick,
Yeah.
something for Jordan to do aside from being, you know, assistant mayor. It's fun. It's flirty. I think it's cute, but it's, I know what it is. It's a placeholder.
Jocelyn, so one of the, I will say one of the biggest things that I don't want to say is irking me about show, but Jocelyn. Okay, so she broke up with Dex because she's afraid of him putting his life on the line as a cop now, you know, and the fact that he worked for Sonny. So Sonny's going to target him no matter what. So
Well,
she
she had broken up
goes
with him before the cop thing.
over that, yeah. And now she goes to Anna to say, don't hire Dex because it's gonna put a target around his back. And it's like, I'm sorry, but first of all, she's just like her mother because Carly would have done the same thing to interfere in Jason's life if that was the case.
Not as much with Jason, but she would do it to Sonny.
Okay.
She did do it to Sonny. She
Yeah.
cut a deal with the FBI to try to get Sonny out of the mob because, you know,
Yeah.
keep him safe.
Right.
Absolutely. But again, like Eden has said that Dex and her breakup came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they were very shocked about it in the podcast. And I think that that was one of those resets.
Okay.
Because they've also completely reset Dex's feelings about Sonny.
Yeah, they have. Yes.
It was like a whiplash thing.
It really was because he said, you know,
Yes.
I'm loyal to Sonny, you know, I'm not going to do anything. And then all of a sudden he goes into Anna and says, hey, I could give you dirt on Sonny.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Anna offers him the, like, I understand the concept of, okay, he's expert, he's ex armed forces, you know, he's got the experience of working for Sonny, so he's got in or gotten, you know, and into the, you know, mob business. So yeah, he would be an asset. But at the same time, you know, it's almost like, okay, you're bringing in somebody who could A, on one hand, potentially be a mole, you know, for a mob, for the mob boss, or B, you're setting up a target on Dex's back.
True. But that's also, you know, Anna is having second thoughts now about this thing with Dex. And that's why she called Molly too
Right.
about prosecuting Sonny.
Yeah.
It, you know, and I mean, it's soap opera. Nobody who is related to somebody would prosecute them. But Anna, you know, it's a soap. Anna's thing is it has to be Molly because Sonny won't try to kill her.
Okay.
Whereas another prosecutor, Sonny
Where,
would.
yeah.
But if it's
First
Molly,
with.
He won't, exactly. He won't do that. So that's what Anna's thinking. Now, the thing with Dex, you got to remember also, the PCPD, the star detective is Sonny's son.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
You know, Anna was a double agent traitor to her country with the WSB when she was shady.
Yeah.
And she's the police commissioner.
Right.
It's, you know.
Proper. So you have to have that
exactly
level of being able to suspend disbelief.
Right. You know? And at least with Dex, he never actually crossed the line.
No, he didn't.
You know, so he's still savable.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like that they've I'm eager. Who do you think his father is?
You know, that's one of the biggest things that, you know, is out there. I want to say that he could be Jason's son,
mm-hmm.
or he could be Jagger's son.
Yep, there's a third option.
He could be, you know, AJ's son.
I don't think I thought I would love for him to be AJ's son, but there's no drama because AJ's not around.
Right.
And Monica's not around and isn't going to be around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the three options are Jason, Jagger, or Dante.
That could be true. Yes.
I had thought it was going to be Dante because of the secret with him and Cody that they have seemed to drop.
Right.
But now they're kind of putting Dante back in the potential mix for it.
Okay.
Jagger, I think Jagger is the least likely of the three.
Right, yeah.
Jason, there's a lot of storyline potential because, you know, this is a kid. I think it would be a kid he didn't know existed.
Yep.
So he didn't abandon that kid.
Yeah.
While he's struggling with these other two
mm-hmm.
that he has ditched more than once. So there's that. Plus, there's Sonny wants to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason would be like, you're not killing my kid.
Right.
And then, you know, but with Dante, that sets up that same conflict.
Right.
With his father.
Right.
But I don't know that they would have Sonny beefing with every child of his except Christina and Avery.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? So I don't know about honestly, I think the most likely is Jason.
Yeah.
Especially because in an interview, Evan Hoffer was asked if he had heard the rumors about Jagger being his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes. And the ones about Jason. And he like keeps bringing up Jason unprompted. And then Steve Burton did the same thing on his podcast 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
When Bradford Anderson was talking about recapping things that had happened. He mentioned Dex going to Anna.
I remember that.
And all of a sudden, Steve Burton goes, is he my son?
Yeah.
It's like, Right. So the fact that the two of them keep unprompted bringing it up makes me think more that it's Jason, but you know, we'll see.
It could be a swerve. So mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the fact is they have to put Dex, you know, yeah, sure. They could have a character that's not related to anybody, but the likelihood of that is nil. So you have to,
we already have Sasha. We've got the one.
Yeah, exactly.
Sasha.
Sasha. And Cody. Yeah. Well, no, because Cody's Mac's son. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure just Sasha or Spinelli. Anyway. Spinelli's not related to anybody.
That's true. Although Cody is going to be taking some time off to film a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, I think it's a Marvel movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, possible. I think so, maybe.
But Josh Kelly's going to be taking some time off. But mm-hmm. I guess it just works. And he's not going to be missing much time on the show because of how the dark week goes, and maybe miss one mm-hmm. week here, 1 week there.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be too much. So, but, you know, I like where they're going with Cody and Sasha. I like, mm-hmm. I was very shocked that Sasha was so ready to go bail Maxie out and Deception out on the Home and Heart Network. Lucy's a dumpster fire. I'm sorry.
She is. Well, that's the fun of Lucy, though.
Oh, exactly. She was giving Haven de Havilland anxiety. Like, just like,
Even poor Maxie in Brooklyn
Yeah.
anxiety.
And Scott too. Like Scotty tried to do it and she's just on and on about all her stuff and
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
that it was entertaining to watch,
Yes.
but it was also anxiety inducing because it's like
Oh,
why?
absolutely. Yeah. That's why I loved those scenes with Maxie and Felicia, and Maxie going, she breathes the same air that we are, but Lucy is not one of us.
Right.
So it was great.
It was.
Yeah, but I love, yeah. I wasn't surprised that she was willing to bail them out because she still has, interest in the company, and she still, she loves them all. She just doesn't want to be a model anymore.
Right.
She wants to see what else is out there.
Which is fine. And I like that they have somebody who's kind of undecided in their life, in their life choices or what
Yes.
have you. I feel like the fact that they have, Cody, who for all intents and purposes has been fantastic as a stable hand for the Quartermains. And you're right, the fact of Tracy and Cody kind of having those scenes now where Cody is or Tracy has softened up a lot. So Tracy in general has softened up a lot, but I like where.
Their unlikely friendship,
Right. And I
like
like
the fox and the hound.
exactly. But I really liked Tracy and Brooklyn scenes this week when Brooklyn's like, I'm gonna just go ahead and buy Chase a new truck and this and that. And she's like, we can afford it, we're fine. And Tracy's like, you can afford
You
it.
can't afford it.
And she kind of dropped that wisdom down to Brooklyn where you have to understand, you guys come from two different backgrounds. And I like the fact that Chase and Brooklyn were able to talk it out this week. They were
Yes.
able to, kind of talk about the issue. And Chase is like, I wanted to give you a good honeymoon, and I like that they're a very open and honest couple. That's refreshing
Yeah.
for a soap.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And soaps need them.
Yeah, they do.
They do need
And
happy
I think
couples.
here's my thing is I feel like this is where it comes back to listening to the fans. I think the GH is taking an opposite approach into the fact that, the whole Chase and Brooklyn relationship took such a hit when they came out and said they don't want to do love scenes and they've made the decision to not do anything over the top because of their personal issues and fans wanted Brooklyn fired, because of it. And I think GH is like, well, you know what? We're going to give them even harder to in a wholesome to play up the fact that they're not going to be doing extravagant love scenes. They show enough, they make out, they kind of zoom away from, they kind of give the illusion to them, making love, and then that's it. And that's all you need.
And that's fine.
So the fact that
It's
they're
not
showing them,
Skinamax.
right, exactly. You have your hot hook. You had Joss and Dex for a while. You had
Exactly. And you will again.
Jordan and
Zeke.
Zeke. Like
Yeah.
I still say that that he just, saw the shot at the Metricorn and got scared and left. They had so much potential with him.
They did. But it was and we could still see him again.
Yeah, exactly.
Portia's still there.
Yep.
We could still see him again. Although I like the idea of Drew and Jordan because I think it'll have an interesting conflict with Curtis.
Yes, I think so too.
You know what I mean? It drives more story that way
It does.
too.
I agree. And I'm glad they kind of had that they kind of played up with the Drew and Curtis friendship a little more this week. Curtis walking in, I'm glad he's finally walking again. And then and it was actually the end of not this past Friday, the Friday before when Nina comes in and like, oh, you should have seen who Carly was sleeping with, and it's like that turned me off to Nina. Like the way she's been being portrayed or written is, in my opinion, has made her an unlikable character. But I see so many people coming to Nina's defense now. And because of apparently what happened today with Sonny and Ava, everybody's coming out of the woodwork to support Nina. Where did all these fans come from?
Okay, I'm gonna say something that you might get angry emails about.
Go ahead, I'm used to it.
The majority that I have seen. Now, Cynthia Watrous is a fabulous actress. I'm gonna
Yes.
say that right now.
And congratulations
Majority of Nina
for
fans that I have
that
seen,
nomination.
yes, deserved.
Deserved.
Absolutely. The majority of Nina fans that I have seen are Carly haters.
Yes.
And they did not give one fig about Nina until she was opposite Carly.
Exactly.
And it's basically the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yes.
And, you know, they cry about Nina. This is who Nina has been since she came on the show.
Yes.
She came on the show faking paralysis, drugged Silas to try to rape him because she thought he owed her a baby.
Yes.
And I understand about growth and yada yada yada, but Nina, she's been on the show 10 years. She has never been shown to do anything to have growth.
Right, exactly.
You know, people talk about Carly, you know, oh, she used to be this. But the thing is, Carly came on the show as a young girl. She was 22 years old, and her number one thing she wanted was the love and acceptance of a family.
Yes.
She has that. She has that. And that is why Carly is not as crazy as she was. It's not like she never does anything,
Right.
but she's not that same girl who came to town at 22. She has grown up. Nina also wants the love of a family, but she hasn't gotten it yet. And when she gets close, she still sabotages it.
Yes, that's the key.
So that is why Nina is still the way she is.
Yes. And you know, it's one of the biggest things that I have seen in with, you know, the whole Carly and Nina thing is that Nina feels like she's owed a lot. She's kind of like the fans that are out there that feel like they're owed from the show, in that Nina feels like everything that's going wrong with her life is somebody else's fault and not hers. The only reason why that she went to the SEC about about Drew and Carly was because, you know, Carly never told didn't tell her early enough about Willow, or
Well, she did it after they had that argument at Ava's house because she was mad because Carly told her about herself.
right.
But the thing is that Nina came in, Carly was watching Avery because Ava had gone to check on Trina or something because something had happened. And Ava had asked her to watch Avery. And Nina came in, and Carly was like, I'm going to go in another room.
Yeah.
If you don't want to leave, that's fine, but I'm not leaving because Ava asked me to stay with Avery. I'm going to go in another room. But Nina won't let her walk away.
Yeah.
And Nina keeps at her.
Yes.
Carly does not go after Nina. The last time Carly went for Nina was what the day she found out that Nina had known Sonny was alive
Right.
and kept him. And she went at her at the quartermains. Other than that, Carly doesn't go for Nina. And the majority of the time, when Nina comes for Carly tries to walk away.
Yes.
But Nina keeps at her.
She's
And then
kind of
Carly's
like
like, all
that.
right, if
She's
we're gonna
just like
do
that mad.
this,
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
exactly. And then Carly tells her about herself, and then it's poor, poor Nina
Right.
because Carly laid those truth bombs on her.
Yeah.
But, you know, you ask for it, you're going to get the dance. And Nina insists on it. So then she calls the SEC.
Yep.
And okay, fine, whatever. And everybody, all of the fans of Nina are right. It was not illegal. What she did was not illegal.
Right.
Absolutely correct. But that doesn't mean it wasn't wrong
Right.
because she had promised her daughter and she had promised her husband
Yep.
that she was going to leave Carly alone. And she didn't. And not only did she impulsively, angrily do it, a few days later, she called her lawyer and made sure it was done
Yes.
and doubled down. And she's like, no, I am sure I want you to do it.
Yeah.
And then you know, then she had her big second thoughts after Carly was, you know, taken out of Willow's wedding and the wedding, but it wasn't regret over what she had done. It was regret that she could get caught and screw up her life again.
Yep.
So then she decides, all right, well then I have to get Carly out of our lives completely. I'm going to try to do everything I can to get her the harshest sentence possible by turning her and Drew against each other.
Right.
And this is all Nina's doing.
Yeah.
This isn't Carly's doing.
But she doesn't take accountability.
Exactly.
She will blame everybody else about it.
And Carly said a million times, we did insider trading, but we saw it happen. They weren't purposely doing insider. It wasn't
right. Exactly.
That wasn't her intent. Yep. She was being Carly. She was trying to help.
Yeah.
And she did something stupid. Her intent wasn't bad. And multiple characters have said, including Lois, the SEC wouldn't have ever looked at them
right
without the tip from Nina.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, and neither of them profit. It wasn't, and yes, because people are like, oh, well, I remember Carly sitting at the Metro Court talking about the great vacation she was going to take. Yes, but that wasn't why she did it.
Right.
She didn't do it. We saw it on screen. She didn't do it. And it was a crime, and she did it, and she wanted to fight it. She did not want Drew to go to jail for her. She wanted them to fight it.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He made the decision of what he was going to do and wouldn't listen to her. And she couldn't stop him. And then even in court, when they gave her the harsher sentence, she was like, no, no, withdraw your plea. And he's like, no, I can't. I'm not going to.
Right.
And she didn't escape punishment.
No,
she had a $5 million fine that wiped her out.
Yep.
And a lot of people think that Carly never loses. They're like, we don't like Carly because she never loses. Carly loses all the time. Yeah. The difference is Carly doesn't sit around and cry about losing forever. She doesn't play, you know, she'll sit, she'll get angry, she'll cry, and then she gets to work figuring it out.
So here's the analogy I'm going to make with in regards to Carly. Obviously, a wrestling analogy. Shawn Michaels is known as Mr. WrestleMania because he always comes out with his best performance for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
He has only won at WrestleMania 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, I want to say two and I think it was like 2-12. I don't have the exact stats.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a losing record at WrestleMania, but yet he's known as Mr. WrestleMania because of his performances.
Mm-hmm.
Carly's wins and Carly's Laura Wright in general, her performance as Carly overshadows the losses that she gets because she comes back and learns from her losses.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back stronger. And the fact when she lost to Metro Court, and she was humble about it, and she said, I don't want Olivia to pay for the other half. I don't want to be handed it back from Nina. I want to take, I'm okay with Kelly's, now Bobby's, because she got it from her mother. And that, now Jason comes into the picture. And Jason buys it back for her. And, you know, there are a lot of people like, oh, well, you know, because it's Jason, you know, she'll take it. But Jason.
But the thing is he was right.
Yeah.
As he said, do you think this would have happened if I had been here? And it wouldn't have.
Right.
It wouldn't have. And Jason didn't say, hey, do you want me to buy the Metro Court back?
Just did it.
Like everybody else offered to do it. Jason's like, we're doing it. It's done.
Yeah.
This is it. And she actually, her and Sonny had it out today because he was infuriated that she took it from Jason when she wouldn't take it from him.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to him, Jason, you did it because you felt guilty because you blew up our family.
Yeah.
You were like trying to make yourself feel better because of what you had done. Jason did it because he loves me and this is what he does. He believes in me. You know, there was no string.
It wasn't out of guilt. It wasn't out of.
It wasn't. It was exactly. It was, this is where you belong. I am making it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing with Jason too, is that like right now, Jason doesn't think he's going to be able to stay in Port Charles.
Mm-hmm.
If he survives this.
Yeah.
Because Anna was talking to Jagger about it. She's like, you have Jason out there as bait.
Yeah.
And he knows they're shooting armor-piercing bullets.
Yeah.
He's expecting to die for this.
Yeah.
You know, which is also why he's trying to put everything in order. You know, he left Carly 50% in his will and then found out she never got it because it was tied up in probate.
Yeah.
So he's not going to leave her stranded again.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, yeah, it's Carly is a fighter.
Yes.
And so, she doesn't give up.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And that's one of the biggest things. Moving on to so we also, first of all, while we are on the subject of Sunny, Lois going to Sunny and asking if he was going to Brooklyn's wedding, you know, and he didn't want to originally. He said mm-hmm. he was going to go, and then Lois worked her magic, and mm-hmm. he was going to go, and then apparently he said the plus one was going to be Ava.
Well, Lois doesn't think so, but Olivia thinks so.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I'm pretty sure it'll be Ava.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that wedding, because mm-hmm. obviously in a soap opera wedding, anything could happen, and usually does.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's going to be a happening. And it's going, I'm sure it's set for May sweeps.
It is.
So
the week of May 13th is the wedding.
Yep. And, you know, all signs right now show me that Gregory is not long for this.
Yeah, no. Gregory's dying for May sweeps as well.
Yeah. You know, so.
I think he makes it to the wedding.
Right. He makes it to the wedding, but not long after that.
Yeah.
He'll be out.
Yeah. And I think the wedding happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think if something's happening, it's happening at the reception.
Yeah.
And I think Pikeman could try to take another shot at Jason.
I think,
or at Sunny, I mean.
Yeah. And I think I want to see. Here's my thing. Sunny is very vulnerable right now, because all he has is Ava, and he has mm-hmm. Frank and Brick. Brick's part timer. So and Frank. Yeah. You know, Frank is one of, you know, he's a bit part, you know, he's not somebody who's
right
like there, you know, he's standing at the door. He doesn't have Max
right.
Pillow anymore, you know, who were
well,
always
he, his other, another one of his guards is coming back too. I can't remember which one it was. It was the one that he had put that was on, when Sonny was dead, it was, the one that was on Jocelyn at the party that, terrorized, Spencer at.
Yeah. Okay.
I forgot. He's coming. He's going to be, you know, we'll see like nameless guards and stuff like that. Yeah.
But he doesn't have his Jason. He
no.
doesn't have Dex anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know? So Sunny is very, very vulnerable. Would it happen if, could it take place that Pikeman comes after Sunny and Jason saves him so that Sunny could see that Jason wasn't lying about it? Possibly.
Yeah, I could see that possibly happening.
You know, but Sonny's still not in his right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is Ava going to divulge the fact that his pills are 50% or 10% of what they were?
I think Ava is trying to figure out how to do that. Because the thing is that she, you know, the big thing between her and Sonny was her messing with Morgan's medication and leading to his death. And Christina brought that up today when talking to Sam. And so, you know, and she, to tell Sonny, she'd have to tell him that she took his medication.
Yes.
And he's super hyper paranoid right now.
Yeah.
So I think that Ava wants to figure out, I think where it will go is that Ava wants to figure out what happened to his medication first.
Yeah.
So she can bring the entire thing to him.
That makes sense.
So it's going to be interesting to see that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like a lot of people are like, oh, once Carly and Jason realize that, you know, his medications are messed up, all will be forgiven. But the thing is that like when Carly was telling Jason about the things that happened, and had said, you know, we can just let him drown. And Sonny was like, and she was like, you're going to forgive him, aren't you? And he's like, well, right now, but hearing the things that he did to you, I'm getting close to the line.
Yeah.
And those things, he was all on his medication when he did all those things.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Jocelyn's going to Jason this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he, you know, Jason still doesn't know what Sonny did to Michael.
Yeah.
With the Nina stuff. So, you know, there's more for Jason to find out. Sonny and Jason have a big showdown this week.
Okay.
I think that they're busting up the trio, the unholy trio, as they were called. I think that there's going to be a permanent rift between Jason and Sonny.
Which is much better for storytelling purposes.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, like I said, and I said it before, when I first heard that Steve Byrne was coming back, I said that, yeah, I don't want Jason to just come in just to be there. There has to be good story. And so far, it's fantastic because it's something that has not been done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the backstory.
Yep.
It's funny that somebody on Twitch said that, or it might have been Facebook, but either way, somebody on social media said, it seems like nobody in Port Charles has ever seen tattoos before because Carly made mention about his tattoos. And he said there was nothing else
to go do. Ahead.
You know, he said mm-hmm. there was nothing else to do. So,
and he wanted something that was just his.
Yes. You know, so.
And the thing is that it's not that people have never seen tattoos, it's that this is a 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
Any 50-year-old man showing up all of a sudden with a sleeve of tattoos,
right,
when they had never had one, it's gonna raise an eyebrow.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, at 50 years old, he's never, you know, he had never had another tattoo. Jason wasn't a tattoo kind of guy.
Right. So the fact that, you know, now that
yeah.
you have them, it's mm-hmm. causing a little bit of conversation. All right.
A conversation I loved, of course.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, of course. And I like it because they are actually providing details. They mm-hmm. provided details of where Jason was. You know, it wasn't that he was just buried under the rocks for 2 years and you see him
right.
poking out and he climbs out.
And the story, it's not like he just sat down and told somebody the story. The story is coming out in bits and pieces later. With conversations with different people.
Yep.
So it's like, it's more organic kind of thing. And I like that.
I do too.
You know,
yeah.
And there's still more story to tell.
There is. Absolutely. I'm very interested in the Jason storyline because it's phenomenal and it's storytelling at its best.
And it's such a great umbrella story.
It is.
It encompasses so much of the cast.
Yeah.
And then it's overlapping into the other. This is soap.
Yeah.
The soap is soaping.
Yes, exactly.
After so long of not soaping. And I love it.
I do too. I'm very happy with it. All right. So I believe, I really liked how they showed Dex doing the athletics test for the fitness test.
I liked that too. I know a lot of people made fun of it, but I thought it was great. And I like when they get out of the studio.
Yep.
I know it's just the parking lot, but it was good.
It was good because of the fact that it's something that really happens. Like you don't just apply. The one of the biggest gripes that I've always had with any kind of entertainment, soap operas, whatever, you don't see the reality behind it. Like I know we use, you know, any kind of entertainment as an escape, right? From real life, you know?
Right.
So when you're watching Law & Order SVU and people are wearing masks during COVID time, it keeps the reality there, you know, like, whatever. We never had COVID on General Hospital. You know, it affected the shooting schedule, it affected the showing, whatever.
Yeah.
But it never was addressed in GH.
Right.
So, you know, but I like the elements of realism. I like when you see Maxie struggling because of her finances, you know,
right.
because it gives a relatability to the characters. If the,
Right.
if Anna was just to, you know, come to Dex and say, hey, you know, I want you to come work for me. Here's your badge. Here's your gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real.
Right.
You know, the way that she talked to Cyrus about getting Cyrus to, you know, give his statement, that's real. Because
yeah.
Anna, as a police commissioner, is trying to rid the streets of a criminal.
Right. Another good example is the conversation Willow and Michael had about her job and her
Yes.
career, because she was missing so much with the kids.
Yep.
You know, she was talking about how much she's, you know, she loves her job, she loves nursing, but, you know, these kids, they're little and she's missing so much. You know, that is real.
Same thing with Elizabeth. There's so many
Yeah.
times you see Elizabeth, you know, and they have done it semi well.
And with her, when the morning Jason came, when she was telling Jake to get out of the shower because her shower was broken.
Yeah. Yep.
It's, yeah.
It's real life. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I like what they're doing with the differences between Jake and Danny. Danny wants to see his father. His mother's not letting him, doesn't want to allow him to see him. Jake wants nothing to do with them, and Elizabeth is very open to saying, yeah, you can come see whatever you want. I like what they're doing there, because it shows, you know, how, you know, two kids can be.
Right.
You know, two different kids from two different mothers. And
they had the brothers fighting.
Yeah, exactly.
And Aiden trying to interrupt it.
Yeah.
And he's like, knock it out, you know. And that's all very realistic, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and oh God, yeah, I'm just loving so much of this show. I really, really am.
I am.
I just, today, another thing that they had, because Christina took, this isn't really a spoilery thing, but Christina took Danny to get a drink while Jason and Sam talking. They went to the coffee shop, and she's like, you know, he's like putting spoonfuls after spoonfuls of sugar in his coffee. And she's like, maybe if you put a ninth spoonful of sugar in. And he's like, I really don't like the taste of coffee.
That's like,
she's like,
I can only drink
she's like,
flavored
yeah.
coffee.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the taste of coffee. I like the taste of creamer, the flavored creamers. I say it all the time. But it's that and that. And she was like, why are you drinking coffee? He's like, well, a lot of kids my age drink, you know. And that was so real.
Yeah.
And it's a little thing, but those are soap operas. General Hospital hasn't had a heart in a long time.
Right.
Yeah. And it does again. The heart of General Hospital is beating again. These are the things that are the heartbeat of General Hospital.
I think
these relationships, these interactions.
And I think that's
which,
what Joe needed. The
right.
You know, the new writer, you know, say what you want about the new writing team. It is, they are shaking things up again, and it's bringing a pulse back to it. I think the previous administration, the previous writers, played it too safe. And played to not shake things up. They wanted to keep things status quo so that they didn't get canceled or they didn't shake things up. You know, this new writing.
And they missed so many dramatic beats.
Exactly.
And they, you know, and like when, you know, Chase and Brooklyn are all of a sudden engaged and people are like, huh? You know, because they didn't, you know, they didn't show these buildings of relationships.
Right.
You know, and, you know, not everything is an integral part of some kind of plot, but it's still important.
Yes. The fact of Gregory going to Tracy and saying that he no longer has a plus one because Alexis is going to the bar in New York because of you know, her deal. That was a great, it was something subtle, but you know what? Tracy's like, oh, okay, well, then you'll be able to, you know, escort me down, you know?
Right.
And that's just something small, but it's a plot point where, you know, because everybody was looking at the triangle and they look at Tracy and Gregory and they had better, you know, more of a connection than Gregory and Alexis. But, you know, Tracy was bummed that he asked Alexis, now she can't go. And, you know, but it's fantastic.
The letter scene when Jason was in jail. from Monica that Brooklyn brought him the letter.
Yes. Yep.
I cried. That was, you know, and, you know, they can't get Leslie Charlson right now, but that was checking that box, you know, that was an important thing and they handled it beautifully.
I heard rumors that also had Steve Burton almost walk off the set.
Oh, yeah. He said that he was so emotional that he almost had to call cut because he thought he was like on the verge of really losing it. So because of his personal relationship with Leslie Charlson. And yeah, absolutely. But it was a great scene. Yeah. It's a phenomenal scene.
It is. I hope that Wally Kurth is back for Brooklyn and Chase's wedding.
He is.
You know, it's.
He said he's coming back.
He's
he said he's back for it.
But I also know that because of his recurring status and doing both Days and GH and being on tour with the Day Players, you know, who are coming to Bridgeport in, I think, September or October. So I want to try to get it.
You know what I'm doing next Saturday?
What are you doing next Saturday?
I'm going to New Jersey. And I'm seeing Laura Wright, Cynthia Watros, Finola Hughes, and Tabiana Ali.
Congratulations. I'm envious. I'm envious. I would go to, is it that Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club?
It's in New Brunswick at Laugh Factory. Is that what it might be? Laugh Factory. Yeah. They're hitting a few places around there, but we're actually doing the lunch with them and then the event afterwards as well.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm very excited.
You know, I haven't been to many soap events myself. I've been to Stephen Bradford Christmas special, which was phenomenal, and I would go see.
Yeah.
That's honestly pretty much it that I've been to in terms of soap stuff. Just because I'm fairly new to the game in terms of soap stuff. Obviously, going to WrestleMania this week, this year, kind of was my
big
bucket list item, and just fantastic. At some point, I want to make it out to California for their GH week, and maybe even our Days.
Day of Days.
Yeah.
I went last year. It was phenomenal.
But, you know, going back, I do want to see Wally. I'm glad that Wally Kurth will be back, you know, because Ned has been missing from a lot of planning, you know.
Yes.
After he got his memory back, it's like he was there for maybe a couple more weeks and then gone in Australia. Mm-hmm. You know, the character of Ned being in Australia. So that's good that he'll be back for that. Let's see. Somebody pointed out that, you know, at the AA meeting that Alexis and Finn were at, they still had the box of Kelly's, donuts there instead of Bobby's.
Well, she just changed the name. Right. There's like 10,000 boxes in the back that still had Kelly's. Why waste them?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's realistic. It is.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. It is. I think we kind of okay. So, I want to bring this up. I feel like the scene that we had with Joss and Dex and Trina this week, where Trina kind of asked them about their relationship and everything. In my opinion, that's the role Trina should be playing, and that's the role that she was originally meant to be playing. Just the catalyst for a conversation, the best friend, you know.
I mean, I like Trina. I mean, there's actually a really big contingent of people who would like Trina and Joss to say goodbye to all of these men and and hook up. I love the Trina and Joss friendship, but I love Trina. I'm not a fan of her friendship with Ava. I think it's incredibly disloyal to Joss, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I would like Trina to have a relationship. I wasn't a fan of Sabrina because I'm a Trina fan.
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer was a boy comprised entirely of red flags.
Yep.
and never deserved her.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, oh, you must have wanted him with Joss. No, God, no. No, God, no. Esme was too good for that man.
Wow.
Seriously. It was not a fan. I mean, he's a great actor. The character of Spencer was a human dumpster fire.
Yes.
As far as a romantic mate.
Right.
I would like somebody better for Trina.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I love Jax. Love Jax. And I wanted, you know, before Dex showed up, I was like, ooh, can Miss Wu have a hottie bodyguard nephew? You know, that's exactly what I wanted. And Dex was as close as I was getting to that, and that's fine. You know, but I mean, I would love an art student or an artist, you know, coming in for Trina. I was on board for Adam and Trina because I thought that could be interesting, but.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So.
All right. So before we end the show, I do want to, you know, they did announce the Daytime Emmy nominations for this year's Daytime Emmy Awards that are going to be happening in the summer. I believe it's going to be in June, because since there's no strike this year, knock on wood, it's going to be Friday, June 7th on CBS. I know beyond Paramount Plus, I'm sure. So one of the more controversial decisions is that the Daytime Emmys decided to drop the Outstanding Younger Actor category.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very controversial.
It is, but
difference with some of the characters or actors, I should say.
My thing about it is this. I think that the reason they did it, a lot of people are like, oh, they did it because of all the blowback with it. I don't think they did that. I think they did it because there just aren't enough submissions.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? Kids just aren't doing as much.
Right.
And I mean, they could have kept, they, you know, the category, you know, for all the complaining people did about Eden getting a nomination, the year she got the nomination, the rule had become 18 and under.
Yeah.
And she was in that age range.
Yeah.
You know, the age range was never going to be, and people are like, we didn't want it canceled. We just didn't want adults competing against children. They weren't going to make it less than 18.
Right.
Nor should they.
Right.
And Cameron, not for nothing, but Cameron Grimes won it in 2000, I think, when she was 9 years old. And everybody else in that category was in their 20s.
Yeah, so I'm...
Because it used to be 25 and under for younger actor.
Right, yes.
And the 9-year-old beat the grown adult women. Kimberly McCullough beat grown adult women.
Yeah.
Jonathan Jackson beat grown adult men. It's happened.
There's just not enough children
in exactly.
a particular position.
And
on Days, the two, Chad's two kids on Days, you're them.
Right.
What are they gonna submit? Them coughing from a house fire.
Exactly. I mean, because they have to come up with a 15-minute reel,
yeah.
Which is actually a lot of time when you think about it.
Yes.
Or somebody, you know, none of these kids are on contract, these little ones.
Exactly.
So then it's the, you know, and, you know, for all the complaining people did about Eden being nominated, that's the Emmy Nicholas Alexander Chavez won.
Yeah.
For younger actor. And he was older than 18 when he did it.
Yes, exactly. Because,
so,
you know, the girl that plays Wendy on Days dropped out of the competition last year.
Because she was too old.
I thought it was because they changed the rule. Because
no,
she felt she was too old to go against
She younger. Didn't know they had changed the rule.
Okay.
Because they had changed the rule years before. When they changed the rule, they had set a tiered system.
Okay.
It was going to go down to 18 slowly.
Okay, gotcha.
They went from 21, I think from 25 to 21, and then 21 to 18. You know, they did it incremental. So she didn't realize that it had changed.
Okay, all right.
To the 18. So that's why she was ineligible.
Gotcha. All right, well, Let's go through the some of the different nominees this year for daytime drama series. It's going to be The Bay with Pop Star. Again, Dockside the Bay tomorrow night, 10 p.m. right here on our YouTube channel. Bold and the Beautiful, Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, Young and the Restless, and then Neighbors, which is on Amazon Freevee. That's something I haven't heard of. The way it's spelled, I'm assuming it's a European,
Australian.
Australian. Okay. Yeah, because of Bourse. Okay. So there for daytime drama series, I predict The Bay to win again because The Bay is just phenomenal. Maybe next year GH will have that opportunity with the writing that's here now, but I still feel like The Bay for this year's will take it.
I'm predicting GH wins best show.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying that they deserve best show,
Right.
but I think they'll win best show. I just think they will. It's There were a lot of question marks for me. I had no question marks about. I'm actually going to start watching Neighbors. I want to check it out. I'm
All
also going to start watching The Bay.
right.
But best show, I didn't have any questions. I was a little surprised. I think that no, I guess the other Beyond Salem wasn't eligible. There were acting things that surprised me. Acting, and mostly it was who wasn't nominated.
Well, let's get into that now. Lead performance in a daytime drama series for an actor is Eric Braeden as Victor Newman from Young and the Restless. Scott Clifton as Liam Spencer in Bold and Beautiful. I was not expecting him as a lead actor, in the lead actor class.
Yeah, that one surprised. He had good stuff. I just wouldn't expect him as lead either.
Thorsten Kay as Ridge Forrester in the Bold and the Beautiful. If he submitted the stuff that he had in November when John McCook was going through his dying spell, I'm giving it to Thorsten Kay right now. Eric Martsoff as Brady Black in Days of Our Lives. Again, I was not expecting that as a lead.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could kind of see that with a lead, and he submitted the stuff with the gun with Kristen
Really?
when he pulled the gun on Kristen. Yeah. And that stuff was pretty powerful. My biggest surprise with this one,
And then John McCook.
I wasn't surprised there was no GH
Well, Maurice
because the
didn't submit anything this year for lead. That's what.
Yes, I saw that he said that. And I don't think any actor on GH would submit for lead against him except Steve Burton.
Yeah.
Steve Burton probably will next year, but I don't think any of the other ones would, even if they had enough. I wasn't surprised. The one that surprised me that I didn't see that he wasn't supporting or lead was Dan, it was EJ from Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
He
Dan
had
Stewart.
phenomenal stuff with the baby dying. It
Yeah,
was phenomenal.
it was.
I was very, very surprised. And I mean, if Eric Martsoff and Scott Clifton were in lead, then Dan definitely
Right.
could have been,
Oh,
but at the
absolutely.
very least, supporting.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I was very surprised by that.
I am too. All right, lead performance in a daytime drama series for an actress. Tamara Braun is Ava Vitale on Days. I could see that.
Yep,
She's got
absolutely.
a
She was
lot of
great.
good stuff this year. Finola Hughes is Anna Devane on General Hospital. She's always going to be in that category. Catherine Kelly Lang is Brooke Logan on The Bold and Beautiful. As like I said, especially with her acting during the John, Eric dying.
It was all really good. I just can't think of anything other than Brooke reading from the Bible. Which is just, if
I
that's never not going to be funny to me.
think it had a lot to do with her reactions to Ridge and her
Yes.
facials, where her facials were a lot of the acting that was happening during then. That's when I was able to actually watch Days,
Right.
but Bold and Beautiful, I mean, but yeah, a lot of it had to do with her facials. in my opinion. Anna Nicole, Anna Noel, excuse me, as Hope Logan, the Bold and Beautiful. I could see that with all the situation with Thomas and forth and everything. That's Michelle Stafford is Phyllis Summers on Young and the Restless. I don't see that as a lead character.
Well, I mean, there are times that she's lead. I don't know what she had that last year, because
not much.
I mean, especially when you look at what Melody Thomas Scott had.
Yes. And
with the, you know what I mean? I was like, how did she get, and not, that made absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah.
It really didn't. Or Eileen Davidson.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to, if she submits, she's going to definitely get a nomination next year. But she had great stuff last year with Tucker, with,
exactly.
And so I was really shocked by those two. Not being
then,
in
of
it.
Course, Cynthia Watchers is Nina Reeves on JH.
Yeah.
Her stuff is phenomenal. Cynthia Watchers.
Oh, yeah. She had all the Willow stuff and all of that stuff. Yeah. I didn't expect, I don't know if Laura Wright submitted, but I didn't really, I mean, she had good stuff, but it was mostly her just getting yelled at.
Yeah, exactly.
Laura Wright's year is next year with Bobby dying and Jason coming back and all of that stuff. But yeah, Cynthia had great stuff. Fanola had great stuff with Charlotte shooting. You know, but yeah,
I have to apologize. I was not thinking of, I was thinking of Donna Logan, not Brooke Logan. So yes, I can understand that Brooke didn't have much
right
this year. So how did she get a nod and a nomination? Because in supporting performance for an actress, Jennifer Grease is Donna Logan. That's the one I was thinking of. Eric's
it's hard wife. For it's hard. She doesn't have a contract.
Right.
She's recurring. And it's hard for a recurring character to get a lead nomination.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
It just is. Now, another guy I was surprised that wasn't nominated was Matthew Atkinson. The other two from that triangle were nominated. Thomas from Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah. You're right.
He was also phenomenal.
Right. So I can't understand that either. So like I said, supporting performance for an actress, Jennifer Grace as Donna Logan from Bold. Lindsay Godfrey is Sarah Horton on Days. I can't.
She's a great actress, but I don't think she had
no
anything phenomenal.
I think the character was just way too wishy-washy this year.
Yeah,
it's too much of a I can't see that. Courtney Hope is Sally Spector on Young and the Restless.
Absolutely. I think it's hers to lose.
Yeah. Allison Lanier as Summer Newman Abbott on Young and the Restless. I thought a lot of her stuff was better as she started going out with Chase this year.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't last year she had
her chance?
Didn't last year she have the stuff with finding out her mother was alive though?
I don't know, because I only started watching Young and the Restless in November.
Okay.
So I can't
remember if it was last year or the year before. It's so, the Emmys, I'm so messed up about was last year because of how late the other ones were.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't think she's, I mean, she's great too. I just don't know that she had anything stand out enough compared to Courtney Hope.
And
now this one, I was a little surprised that GH was shut out of this one.
Yeah, because they have a lot of good support.
I mean, Tabiana Ali had all the stuff about finding out Taggart, Marcus. Rial Andrews was another one that I was surprised didn't get one.
Yep.
With the stuff Taggart had, that his stuff was phenomenal. Brooke Kerr.
Yep.
You know, Donnell.
Yep.
They all had tons of stuff around the truth about Trina. Trina also had Greenland.
Yep. Yeah.
Nicholas Alexander Chavez and James Patrick Stewart were two more. And John Lindstrom.
Yeah.
Ryan's death. Oh my God.
Oh my God. That should have been at the top.
Avery Pohl.
Yep.
You know, there was a lot, but again, I don't know how many of these people submitted. Yeah. Is the thing.
Last but not least, Emily O'Brien is Gwen Riz checked on Days of Our Lives.
Oh, she was also phenomenal.
Yeah, she was phenomenal, and she's the fact that she's able to just change gears mid
Right
winner.
into
Yeah,
Teresa, and she's
exactly.
great as Teresa. Yes.
All right. Supporting performance for an actor. Robert Gossett is Marshall Ashford for GH. Brian James is Devon Winters in The Young and the Restless. Wally Kurth is Justin Kiriakis on Days. Although I would have expected him to get the nod for Ned in GH with the
Yeah,
whole.
but think about it. Justin lost his son. He found out that because Alex was allegedly
Yeah.
Victor's. We know it's not true, but they,
Right.
you know, they had great stuff around that.
A. Martinez as Nardo Ramos on The Bay, and then Mike Manning as Caleb McKinnon on The Bay. So, yeah, Wally Kurth had two good years for both of his characters.
Oh, God, yes.
So,
but he would have had to do two different submissions, and I can't, and he might have, but I can't imagine that they'd nominate him for both, is the thing.
Yeah. Guest performance in daytime drama series. Lyndon Ashby as Cameron Kirsten on The Young and the Restless. Ashley Jones as Dr. Bridget Forrester, Bold and the Beautiful. Allie Mills is Heather Weber on GH, who's phenomenal in that role as Heather Weber. Absolutely. Guy Pearce as Mike Young in Neighbors. Dick Van Dyke as Mystery Man slash Timothy for Days. And he becomes the oldest person to be nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award for that nomination.
Yeah.
And then I think that's about it in terms of for our daytime soaps. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Writing team for daytime drama. The Bay, Bold and the Beautiful, Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, or Young and the Restless. Again, I've got to go with The Bay. I think they're going to take it again. Directing team, again, The Bay, Bold and the Beautiful, Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, Young and the Restless. And then, of course, this is one that I'm actually shocked that GH is nominated for is lighting direction. General Hospital is go up against the Jennifer Hudson Show, the Kelly Clarkson Show, and The View. I've never put much thought into the lighting for.
I mean, when you watch the other soaps,
Yep.
General Hospital has the best production value.
Yes, it does. Absolutely, hands down.
The best sets, the best, you know, they just do.
Yep.
They just do. You know, not always, you know, not always wardrobe, but as far as sets, production value, theirs is the best, hands down. There's no competition of
Right.
the soaps.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, after going through all that, we've been going at this for an hour and a half.
We have.
We're going to kind of wrap this puppy up and put this puppy to bed. As always, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, is going to be Dockside at the Bay right here. Kim and I will be going over episodes 5 and 6 of The Bay Season 1 that you can find on Amazon Prime. Peacock, Popstar, and Tubi TV. So check that out. Also, Angela, let everybody know again where they can find you, where the viewers and listeners can find you.
PattyPrattle.com and Patty Prattle Podcast on Patreon. And of course, you can always, you know, come over to my Twitter, Brooklyn74. We also have our Patty Prattle Twitter. Always fun. I always have a lot of fun on my Twitter. And I've been putting up some interesting polls and about our how the new show how it's going with the new writing team and the changes we've been seeing. And yeah.
Yeah. All right. And we do thank you because you're also on Days for Dummies on Sundays.
Yep. And Corinthos Coffee at the Brady Pub on Mondays. And we're talking about that new one. No viewer left behind. We're
Absolutely.
thinking about, yeah.
All right. So Thank you all for watching, listening. Again, go ahead, hit that like button, subscribe, get notified for any time something get pops up here on Suds in the Squared Circle. And we are an affiliate for WWE Shop, which is a Fanatic experience. Go over to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch. That does have our affiliate code already in there. And we do get a commission on whatever you buy from WWE Shop using that affiliate link. All right, as always, follow me on Twitter. I am at Vinny Suds. I'm also Vinny Suds on Facebook as well. And anywhere you find your favorite podcast, where you can find this show and Dockside Debate, both now in two separate podcast feeds. So check those out. All right, Angela, thank you so much for filling in again for Christy. And we will be back with you next week right here on Suds News, powered by Suds and Square Circle. Have a good night, everybody.